invite you to take your Bibles now and turn with me to the book of Galatians, chapter 5. Galatians 5, we are considering the fruit of the Spirit found here in verses 22 and 23. This is really a portrait of Jesus, a picture of his character that we are being conformed to by the Holy Spirit. And tonight, as we consider the fruit of the Spirit, we look at the word love. The fruit of the Spirit is a united whole, but it has particular characteristics and dimensions. And we looked at love last week. We're looking at joy this evening. So our focus tonight is joy. And once again, we're going to be considering a topic that is a vast topic in Scripture, and there's much that won't be able to be said tonight. We're going to be barely scratching the surface, but I would encourage you to continue to think on these things and meditate on these things and look deeper into God's Word for the subject of joy, the fruit of joy. I'm going to begin reading at verse 16 of chapter 5 of Galatians, and I'll read down through verse 24. Please hear God's word once again. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. That's where we'll end the reading of God's word. Let's stop and pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your word, and we ask now that you would give us ears to hear it. Lord, we confess that we are often those we've just sung about in Psalm 16, those who often are running to idols. Lord, that just brings grief. And so, Lord, we pray that we would find our joy and our delight in you. Lord, beside you, we possess not any good. You are our highest good and our greatest joy. And so, Lord, give us understanding now. Let us find joy in you and in your word as we hear it together. Give us faith. And we do ask that you would give us eyes to see Jesus and to conform us into his image. We pray this all in his name. Amen. What gives you joy? What gives you joy? How would you finish this sentence? I am joyful when. Or I will be joyful when. And fill in the blank. Well, God tells us here in Galatians chapter 5 that he will give you joy. He gives joy to his children. Those who are united to Jesus Christ by faith with the Holy Spirit dwelling in them. He will conform you to Jesus by cultivating joy in you. Now, when I asked the question about joy just a few moments ago, what came to your mind? Maybe you thought about a home, marriage, freedom, health, a loved one being saved, family, good food, a baby's smile. I don't know what came to your mind. You can think of all sorts of joyful things. And many of those are good gifts from God that we can enjoy and find joy in their right place. But none of them last forever, and they can be lost. They can be withheld. Some of them we have very little control over, and none of them were meant to be or can be our ultimate source of joy. And it raises the question for us tonight, can anyone really have true joy in this life? Can we have real joy, the joy that Galatians 5 speaks of, the joy that Scripture speaks of? Can suffering, sinful, dying people have joy? Well, the answer that God gives in His Word is yes. There is joy to be found in Jesus Christ, in the grace of God, by the Holy Spirit, as a fruit of the Spirit. And unlike some of the blessings in life that can bring joy, God is the ultimate source of joy, and He and His salvation can never be lost. He gives eternal joy that you can have even now, that you can have even in suffering and pain and sorrow. He sent His Son to suffer the pains of this life and the penalty of our sins, so that you might have joy now and forever. And brothers and sisters, this is good news. This is joyful news. No matter who you are, what you have or what you don't have, your past or your present, no matter your current circumstances, if you belong to the Lord by faith in Jesus, He calls you to joy and He will give you joy. He will bring about this fruit in your life. And He calls you tonight in His Word to walk by faith in the Spirit as the Holy Spirit grows and cultivates joy in you, as He conforms you to Jesus Christ by working joy in you. Let's think about that more together tonight. And I want us to consider how we can have joy, what joy really is, where it's found. And I want to begin by understanding what joy is so that we can know true joy. Know true joy. To know true joy, this fruit of the Spirit, we need to know it from Scripture. The word for joy here in Galatians 5 is the Greek word chara. And it means inner gladness, inner delight. It's an inward cheerfulness and contentment. This joy is not a surface excitement. It's not a lighthearted happiness. It's a deep, steady happiness that is grounded in God. Joy in the Scripture is not simply an emotion or a feeling. It involves those, but it's more of a frame of mind and heart. It's not a bubbly or charismatic personality. Joy can be found in all types of people, in all believers. Joy is not just for the young or the rich, the healthy, the successful. It's not just for certain personality types. Joy is for all of God's people united to Jesus Christ. And Christian joy is both a gift and a calling. It's both a privilege and a responsibility. Joy is a gift because it comes only from God. It is a fruit of the Spirit. We can't create joy in ourselves. It's a fruit of faith. It comes only by union with Jesus Christ. We don't deserve joy. We really deserve the opposite: sorrow, hopelessness. And apart from Jesus Christ, that's all we would ultimately have. We could find short-lived pleasure, good feelings, temporary happiness in parts of life and in the things of this world, and many do. And that's what many are living for. And as we heard this morning, that is all the happiness that they will ever know. But it's not true joy. True joy is not dependent on circumstances or conditions. It's not simply a lack of pain or difficulty. And what we see in life and in Scripture is often the most joyful people have very little and have experienced great loss and suffering. Joy is a gift from God that does not depend on the things of this world. But joy is also a calling and a responsibility of Christians. God gives us joy, but He also calls us to seek joy and to have it, to live with it, to cultivate it in ourselves by His grace, by His means, through His Spirit. And so 1 Thessalonians 5:16 says, "Rejoice always." Rejoice always. Joy is not optional. It's not occasional. God calls all of His people. He calls you to rejoice all the time, to bear this fruit that He gives to His people. And this is possible because He gives you the Holy Spirit. His grace is sufficient for you. Kids, you'll know the first question and answer, many of you, of the Westminster Shorter Catechism. That says, our purpose, our chief end, is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. Glorify God and enjoy Him forever. I think we often forget that second part of the answer. We are made to enjoy God, to have joy in Him, the one who made us and redeemed us. Do you think about that very often? Finding joy, finding your greatest joy, your ultimate joy in the triune God. Does this impact the way you think? Does it impact your life, your schedule, your priorities, your mood, your plans? This is the joy God gives you, and this is the joy He calls you to. Johnny Erickson Tada has been a quadriplegic in a wheelchair for 55 years, and many of you may be familiar with her. She has lost and suffered so much, and she lives with pain and great difficulty, and yet she is full of joy. When I think of joyful people, I think of her. And she speaks of 2 Corinthians 6, verse 10 as a verse that describes her: sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. Sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. There's much sorrow in her life. There's much pain. And yet her sorrow is mingled with joy, because she has Jesus Christ. She has joy in Christ, and her pain has given her deeper fellowship with Him, she would say, because He was a man of sorrows, and yet He was also a man of joy. And I want us to consider Him and His joy next. The joy of Jesus Christ, the joy of God. To really know joy, we must behold God's joy. Behold God's joy. Joy ultimately comes from God, and it replicates His. Think about God's joy with me. God had joy in creation. He took joy in the work of His hands. He saw everything that He had made, and it was very good. He had joyful fellowship with man. But sin broke that joyful fellowship. And God punished man for his sin. But we know from Scripture, for example, Ezekiel 33, that God takes no joy in the death of the wicked. It is good and right for God to punish sin, to carry out his justice. And yet he doesn't take joy in that. But the Scripture is very clear that God does take joy in saving sinners. God takes joy in having mercy on sinners and giving them who deserve death life. God treasures and loves his people, and it gives him joy to save them and to make them holy and to restore joy and fellowship with them. And so we read in Isaiah 62, verse 5, as the bridegroom delights in and rejoices over the bride, so shall your God rejoice over you. God delights in and rejoices in his people. Like a groom with his new bride. Can you believe that? If you are in Christ tonight by faith, then you are a joy to God. He delights in you. You're exciting to him. He finds you interesting. You bring him gladness. Not that he lacks joy and can't have it without you, but bestowing his free love, his grace, his salvation on you glorifies him and brings him joy. An amazing picture of this joy is the parables of Luke 15. I would encourage you to read that chapter sometime this week. Those parables picture the joy in heaven, the celebration, the rejoicing in heaven when one sinner repents. And the prodigal son there in Luke 15 is an especially powerful picture. When the son is returning and still far off, the father sees him and has compassion, and he runs to him. And he hugs him and he kisses him and he says, bring the best robe and shoes and a ring. And then he says, bring the fattened calf and let us celebrate, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. That's a picture of the joy of heaven, the joy of God in saving lost sinners. Do you see his joy over saving and restoring one sinner? You get a glimpse of his joy in you, the joy he takes in your salvation. We see this joy in Jesus Christ as well when he was on earth. In John 15, as Jesus speaks of abiding in him, abiding in his love and bearing fruit, he then says in verse 11, these things I've spoken to you that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. Jesus has joy. He had joy on earth, perfect joy, even on this broken, fallen, sinful world. And he intends for his joy to be your joy and mine. This joy is a fruit of abiding in him and in his love. And he doesn't want you to just have a little joy, but for your joy to be his joy and for that joy to be full. And friends, this is the man of sorrows. This is the man who carried our grief and our suffering, who was acquainted with grief, who was despised and rejected, who was humiliated, who was buried. Listen to how Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2 speaks of him. It says, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus endured such sorrow and suffering and pain. He endured the cross. He endured the shame of it all. Why? Hebrews 12 tells us, for the joy. What joy? The joy that was set before him. The joy that he was looking forward to. The joy on the other side. The joy of the Father accepting his sacrifice. The joy of saving prodigal sons. The joy of giving life to dead sinners. The joy of finishing his work and sitting down at the right hand of his Father after conquering death. Wow. Do you see his joy? Do you see what a gift he has given us? Our joy comes only from him because he was willing to suffer and wait for his joy. Because he set aside the joy of glory with his Father, the joy of heaven to enter the pain and sufferings of this life. Isaiah 53, which speaks so poignantly about his suffering and his grief and his substitutionary death, says, out of the anguish of his soul, he will see and be satisfied. He will have joy and satisfaction in making many sinners righteous. Thanks be to God. There's a prayer that's titled Joy in the collection of prayers called Valley of Vision. If you have that, you should read it. But it starts beautifully like this. O Christ, all thy ways of mercy tend to and end in my delight. Thou didst weep, sorrow, suffer, that I might rejoice. Brothers and sisters, behold the joy of God. Behold the joy of Jesus. Behold his suffering for his joy and for your joy. If you want to understand and see the fruit of joy in your life, look first to the joy of God, the joy of Jesus Christ. And that leads us third then to consider how you and I must fight for joy. Fight for joy. Look again with me at verse 17 here in Galatians 5. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh, for these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. The flesh does not want you to have true joy. Remember, as we saw earlier, we are at war. We are at war with our remaining sinful nature, the flesh. And so to have joy, to live out this joy by God's grace, we must fight. We must fight against the flesh. The flesh seeks to steal our joy. It tempts us. It promises joy in things like we see here in verses 19 through 21. Sexual immorality, idolatry, jealousy, drunkenness. But those are lies. Those do not give true joy. In fact, they steal joy. It might give fleeting feelings of pleasure, perhaps, but they do not deliver real joy. One thing we should do if we see little joy in our lives is to ask God to show us if there is sin in our lives, where the flesh may be leading us astray, and then repent of that which is stealing our joy, breaking our fellowship with God, causing our eyes to be turned away from him. Satan wants to steal our joy, and he will tempt us with all kinds of fake sources of joy. He wants us to find our joy in this world. He wants us to find our joy in our circumstances, in things. But these take away from true joy and they distance us from God. And when we depend on these things, which can be lost, we depend on these things in the world other than God, when we look to gifts rather than the giver, our joy is fleeting and fickle. It's not the true, lasting joy that God gives and he calls us to. So we must fight against those temptations. Now, there are things that can affect joy in life and make it hard to experience joy that are more outside of our control or that are not necessarily sinful. For example, sickness, lack of sleep, grief, hard providences from the Lord. Even joy in the Lord is very hard in these times. But notice I say hard, not impossible. The Bible gives us many examples of grief and lament and suffering and sorrow where joy is not prominent. There's a season or a period of great difficulty, of wrestling with God and struggling for joy. Proverbs 17, verse 22 says, "A joyful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones." And there are many things in this life that the Lord may allow in his providence that can crush us, that can crush our spirits and dry us up. But often those crushing trials, while in themselves are not joyful, they can drive us out of ourselves and out of this world to look to God. To look to God not only for hope and for help, but for our ultimate joy. They drive us to Jesus Christ. They drive us to the body of Christ. They drive us to our knees in humility and prayer. And so one writer said, the fruit of joy grows in the greenhouse of prayer. So brothers and sisters, fight against all that steals true joy, that tempts you with fake joy. Pray for the Lord to give you joy. By God's grace, fight to find joy in him. And I want us to consider fourth and finally how we live with joy. God calls us to live with joy. How can we? What does that look like? Look again with me at verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. The fruit of the Spirit is joy. How does God grow this fruit of joy in us by the Holy Spirit? How can we live with joy? How is this not just a lofty, unattainable ideal? If we're honest, life is so often anything but joyful. And we live in a relatively peaceful, safe, and stable place and times. But how can we have joy when there's so much sin and suffering and sorrow? Well, the answer is only in Jesus. Only in God and in his plan and in his purpose, in his goodness and grace. And so much of our experience of joy has to do with faith. Living and walking by faith, not by sight. Joy comes when we can see and think about the world through the lens of the gospel, through the lens of the grace of God, through the lens of the cross, past, present, and future. When we look down to this life and to our circumstances, joy is elusive and joy doesn't last, and it's not the true joy of the Lord. But when we walk by faith, with our eyes fixed on God and his truth, we can have joy. And so James says, James 1 verse 2, count it all joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face trials of various kinds. Have you ever read that and thought, what is he talking about? Count it all joy, my brothers, when you face trials of various kinds. But if you read on, you understand that what James is talking about is trials are a test of our faith that actually strengthen our faith because it forces us to trust God. It forces us to cry out to Him, to live by faith and not by sight. And so we can actually have joy in and through trials and loss and suffering while still battling sin. Because by faith we can look to the greater realities that are ours in Jesus Christ, past, present, and future. And I want us to consider that briefly tonight, how we can walk by faith and fix our eyes on what is true in the past, right now, in the present, and in the future. And so, brothers and sisters, to live with joy, walk by faith in the past reality of your salvation. Walk by faith, looking back to your salvation, the joy of your salvation. If you are in Christ by faith, this is your greatest joy, and it can never be taken. You are free in Christ. You are loved. You are eternally secure. You have a gift of infinite value. When Jesus was born, the angel proclaimed, "I bring good news of great joy." The gospel is the best news of the greatest joy because it announces life in Jesus. No condemnation by faith in Jesus. Freedom from sin and death and the grave. And we don't enjoy this enough. Martin Lloyd-Jones once said, "If you were to ask me to give a definition of a Christian, I should say that he is one who, since believing in Christ, feels himself to be the happiest man in the world and longs for everyone else to be equally happy." Brothers and sisters, to live with joy, no matter your situation, take great joy in your salvation. Take joy also in the present reality of being in Jesus as well. Being united to Jesus Christ right now. Being hidden in Him. In Jesus, you are safe. In Jesus, you are secure. In Jesus, you are being conformed to Him. His life and His strength and His joy is yours. You can be weak, and you are in yourselves. And He knows, and He sympathizes with that. But you can do all things in Him. You have all things in Him. And friends, this reality gives joy. John Murray once wrote, "Apart from union with Christ, we cannot view past, present, or future with anything but dismay and Christless dread. But by union with Christ, the whole complexion of time and eternity is changed, and the people of God may rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory." And so, brothers and sisters, fix your eyes on, walk by faith in the fact that you are in Jesus Christ, the joy, the security of being in Christ. And then finally, brothers and sisters, live with joy by looking in faith ahead. Looking forward. Looking in faith to glory. Looking to heaven. Paul says that our present suffering is light and momentary, and not even worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed. One day you will have fullness of joy in the presence of God, as David looked forward to in Psalm 16 because of the resurrection of Jesus. That's what we have to look forward to. Fullness of joy in the presence of God. That's what gives us joy even now while we wait. And so brothers and sisters, live now with joy because Jesus will come. He is coming. He will wipe away every tear. Your eternity is sure, and it is full of joy. As we heard this morning, your pain and suffering now is all that you will ever know for eternity. God means for your joy to be found in Him above all else. And so He will work in you by His Spirit to that end. He will teach you to walk by faith and not by sight. He will not settle for your joy being rooted elsewhere. And this is a long and painful process, but it's for His joy and His glory and your joy. And so fix your eyes on Him. Fix your faith on Him. Depend on Him and His help and His grace to live with joy. I remember the joy of a certain in-law when good news was shared. She would literally run her joy up and down and around the house and share it with the entire neighborhood. And so when Julie and I announced that we were engaged, and several years later when we announced that we were expecting, her joy could not be contained. And there was shouting and leaping and running for joy, and I'll never forget it. There was reason for great joy. But this joy and this experience of joy, while real and sweet, brothers and sisters, is far surpassed by the joy of Jesus, the news of Jesus, that joy won't be contained by all of eternity. As we close tonight, some of you in this room may be hurting. Some of you in this room may have little joy. Or some of you can so easily remember a time like that. Some of you may soon face one of those times. Or maybe you're here and you're finding far too much joy in this world, apart from Jesus. You need to know and you need to believe that Jesus will give you true joy. Real joy. If you look to Him in faith, He knows your pain, He knows your temptations, and He is and He can only be your highest and greatest joy. By faith, He will be. And so fix your eyes on Him. Rest your hearts on Him. Trust in Him. Cling to Him. Samuel Rutherford once said, "Put the beauty of 10,000 worlds of paradise, like the Garden of Eden, in one. Put all trees, all flowers, all smells, all colors, all tastes, all joys, all loveliness, all sweetness in one. Oh, what a fair and excellent thing would that be. And yet it would be less to that fair and dearest, well-beloved Christ than one drop of rain to the whole seas, rivers, lakes, and foundations of 10,000 earths." Brothers and sisters, know the joy of Jesus, the joy of the Lord that He calls you to, that He gives you, that He will give you forever. He endured the cross for the joy set before Him, for your joy. And when you have joy, you need to realize that you are becoming like Him. And you are getting a foretaste of the perfect and complete and unending joy that you will have with Him and in Him forever. And so, brothers and sisters, fix your eyes on Him. Find your joy in Him. Run your race with joy. by faith in him as he gives you his joy. And as you await that day of complete and everlasting joy. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, please help us to taste something of the joy that is ours in Jesus Christ. Lord, so often we live with so little joy. And so often it's because we've taken our eyes off of you, who you are, what you've done for us. We've looked away from our bridegroom. And we look to the empty things of this world that won't deliver joy. Lord, forgive us. Help us to repent. Drive us to Jesus, and may he be sweet to us. May he give us his joy. And may you be honored and glorified. And may you strengthen us and give us the fruit of joy for your glory as we wait for our ultimate joy with him forever. We do pray this in his name. Amen.